This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thanks for joining us on our daily COVID-19 case update call and briefing. I'll let Dr. Clayton start off this morning with a brief update on today's case count, and then Secretary Malsom-Reisden is also here to take your questions. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Clayton.
Good morning. This morning we are reporting 68 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 7 new hospitalizations. We have no new deaths that we're reporting today. I just wanted to put a note of clarification that a 12th death was erroneously reported on our website earlier today, and this has been fixed. That is also a good reminder that the data are provisional. We have 76 new recovered individuals, and we have 169 new negative tests that have been performed. In total, we have 2,313 COVID-19 cases in the state. Of those, 910 are actively infected. 1,392 individuals have both recovered from the virus. We have 157 hospitalizations that are being reported with all of those cases, as well as 11 deaths. The total number of negative tests that have been performed is 14,299. The new cases by county include 1 in Buffalo, 2 in Lincoln, 59 in Minnehaha, 4 in Stanley, and 2 in Union. The new cases by age range include 6 in the 0 to 19-year age category, 13 in the 20 to 29-year age category, 19 in the 30 to 39-year age category, 12 in the 40 to 49-year age category, 13 in the 50 to 59-year age category, and 5 in the 60 to 69-year age category. New cases by sex include 41 males and 27 females.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines, and we'll take your questions.
Hi, this is Ariel with the Rapid City Journal. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Ariel.
Okay, great. This is for the Health Secretary. First of all, thank you for releasing the new data. It looks nice online. My question is, with the disproportionate amount of COVID cases among Hispanic, Asian American, and African American, is that largely because of Smithfield and who works there? Or what do you attribute that to?
Ariel, when we talked about this yesterday, I think the breakdown by race is indicative of where we've seen the most cases, which is in Minnehaha County, which probably has one of the more diverse populations in our state. Regarding Smithfield, we do know that there are a number of different languages spoken there, up to 70 dialects, so I think that's a very diversified workforce as well.
Okay. And then you also, and sorry, I was furloughed yesterday, so that's why I wasn't there, but there's also Native Americans are not getting it as often compared to the population. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think, there is just a general risk of infection among the individuals in the population. And so, dynamics of this virus have been that it's not been identified in many individuals of the American Indian population. I think that this will continue to evolve, and one of the areas that we are monitoring on a continuous basis is for cases among the American Indian population, because we know that they have more negative outcomes in other health areas, and we want to make sure that we're appropriately testing individuals, doing all the follow-up that we do with other cases, and making sure that we're, as best as possible, protecting that population as well.
Okay.
Next
and
question.
Who is this speaking, since I can't see?
Sorry, this is Dr. Josh Clayton, State Epidemiologist.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
This is Good morning, KOR and News Radio. Any more news on the Care 19 app workover?
This is Derek Haskins. The developers, again, are continuing to improve the app and are rolling out updates as appropriate.
Thanks, Derek.
Next question.
Hey, this is Jonathan Ellis with the Argus Leader. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Thank you. Hey, Dr. Clayton, two questions. Our death rate seems very low compared to other states. I'm wondering if you have insight on why that is. And secondly, do you have a percentage of cases that happen to be in long-term care facilities?
So I think a lot of the death rate that we have seen is because we have been able to, have facilities take proper precautions, that we have individuals in those high-risk populations that are specifically listening to the encouragement from Governor Noem to stay at home and to limit their exposure. And the other component of this is that a large proportion of our cases are accounted for in the Smithfield population, which is a working population. So those individuals are, able-bodied individuals. And so we have not seen a higher mortality rate, as has happened in many other states, I think, because of all of those reasons. And the second question around long-term care facility cases, I don't have the number in front of me.
Thank you.
Next question.
Ryan,
Jeremy, do you support me, now? Jeremy?
Jeremy, go ahead, and then we'll go with Ryan.
Hey, yeah, I was just wondering, it looked like daily test totals, just number of daily tests were really trending up last week, and they kind of went off a cliff over the last couple of days, 100 tests, 200 tests. So I was wondering if you could explain why there was that uptick in number of daily tests and also why it's dropped off, if there's any explanation for either of those.
So, I mean, the one of the factors is, we typically see a few fewer cases, fewer tests being performed, I think, over the weekend. And so we do anticipate that our number of tests that are being done within the community, will just be accounted for in some of this variability, that individuals are less likely to go in and seek testing over the weekend. And I do anticipate that, we're going to continue to see numbers increasing as individuals are contacting their providers and as we have a focus of increasing testing capabilities within the state.
The only thing, this is Kim Olsen-Rice, and I would just add to that we did see very aggressive testing when we had the cluster in Minnehaha County, so you may have seen an inflation in the testing numbers for that reason.
And then,
This is Angela Kennecke from Kello TV. What are the latest numbers for the Smithfield cases and contact cases?
So we have 853 COVID-19 cases among Smithfield employees, and we have 245 individuals that are close contact that have become cases themselves.
I have a testing question as well. Do we have money and supplies to conduct widespread surveillance testing that some health experts say that we need as Governor Noem prepares to return us back to normal?
So this is Kim Olsen-Rice. In testing and supplies and costs of actually running the test is an allowable expense with some of the COVID response funds that the state has gotten. We do not think that there's any financial, barriers to doing the testing that we need to do.
Do you agree that 21% of the population needs to be tested each week on the higher end? Do you have a figure in mind of if we are trying to return to normal, how many people would need to be tested?
Well, I think the focus that we have is making sure that we have appropriate testing. the capacity is there to meet the need, whatever that need may be. And if that's 21% of the population, that you know, maybe up to 21% of the population. But you know, at this point, you know, we have not exceeded our capacity within the state.
Now we'll go to Ryan Martin. I heard you before that first this last question series.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a private clinic in Aberdeen that is providing testing without a doctor's referral or private symptoms. So I'm just curious to hear, you know, what the thoughts are of clinics, private clinics across the state being able to do this. Does it, you know, the positive and negative effects of it, I guess, if there are any. And is this something that is encouraged for private clinics to do?
Well, again, you know, the availability of testing has greatly increased throughout the state since we kind of started down this journey. And so we expect there to be lots of different options for people across the state. We would encourage people that if they are concerned about having symptoms of COVID, that they contact their provider and work with their provider to determine whether they need testing or not.
Thank you.
Next question.
This is Angela Kedeke from Kello again. Do you agree that we need to have a two-week downward trajectory of positive tests before really reopening everything back up?
I'm assuming you're referring to one of the factors that's in the president's
suggestion
for reopening. So that's a pretty common standard as we look across, you know, the epidemiology of this virus. We were not surprised to see that in what he put out.
Next question. Final call for a question.
Any plan to, this is Angela again, any plan to do extensive testing of asymptomatic people in places like nursing homes?
That is something that we're actively under review right now. The recommendations from CDC over the past few days have modified a little bit to allow jurisdictions to take that into account. So we're looking at that as a potential feasible option.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for joining us today, and we will visit with you again tomorrow.